It said, Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Natural Resources Committee for April 10th, 2017. And we are going to have a public hearing on House Bills 5040 and House Bills 5041. And my co-chair will be heading out to something pretty quickly here, but he wanted to be here for the beginning, so there we are. Start off, and I'm going to start off with William Neuhauser. Bill, how are you?
Thank you, co-chairs Frederick and Witt in absentia, and members of the committee. My name is William Neuhauser. I live just outside of the town of Yamhill, about 3 miles outside, and I'm here representing OEB as the incoming co-chair. Prior to careers in software and venture capital, I've had a long-term interest in conservation, serving on the boards of the Nature Conservancy and currently on the Freshwater Trust. On OEB, I'm a public at large member. I've been a past chair of the acquisition subcommittee, and I'm currently chair of the focused investment subcommittee, which I'll go off of in a moment. My goal today is to give you a general overview of how OEB's board allocates restoration grant dollars. And if co-chair Witt was here, he would recognize some of this as from his time on the board. But he would also find that if he got to spend time with it, it's probably a lot more efficient than it was as we've spent some time working on best practices. OEB runs several programs, but all are competitive grant programs designed to maximize the use of dollars for constitutionally defined restoration purposes in local communities around the state, both urban and rural. Allocations are made every 6 months during the biennium to ensure plenty of opportunity for participation. OEB divides the state into six regions to ensure consistently broad geographical coverage and to allow for localized expertise. Every biennium, the board makes budget allocations among several different programs to reflect the needs and seize the opportunities around the state. We distribute a mix of small and large grants, technical and capacity assistance grants, and so forth. This biennial budgeting typically takes place over at least three public meetings, which we're in the middle of right now, providing an opportunity for discussion and to get more detailed staff input and for public comment at several stages and locations around the state. A couple of years ago, the board realized that after a dozen years or so of grant making, that a number of restoration teams had achieved considerable restoration successes and reached a greater level of capability. So we decided that it would make sense to add a program to support larger scale, multi-partner, multi-project, multi-year restoration plans rather than the single project at a time plans. And so we've added a new budget category in the last 2 years called focused investments. This was about a two-year effort, engaging stakeholders and the public in meetings around the state to develop the program and how to roll it out efficiently. The majority of the grant programs use a similar structure to ensure a fair and consistent, detailed technical evaluation and review process. I'm going to describe that now. Applications are received and processed by staff for eligibility, but instead of a staff review of the merits of applications, we use non-staff regional review teams. These are external volunteers with expertise in the restoration needs and appropriate methods within each region. These teams are comprised of representatives from state and federal agencies, from conservation districts, tribes, nonprofits, and other organizations. These regional review teams rank each application for their region on ecological significance of the resulting work, technical merit, likelihood of success, track record, challenges, and then raises any questions, if any, about the application. They often include a field visit to the proposed area to see it in context. Staff summarize the results of each review, and these are made available to the applicants to allow for corrections and clarifications and some feedback. Staff and the regional review teams incorporate that input to produce a final ranking within each region. The staff then works from our board's budget for that grant cycle to see how many of the top-ranked applications can be funded within each region. There are always more good projects than we have funds for, so the competition is pretty strong and encourages applicants to continuously improve the quality of their proposals. The final ranking and funding recommendations are issued to the public and the board. The board reviews the project summaries and any of the original materials they wish. At the board meeting, the rankings are reviewed by staff who respond to questions and concerns may be raised by the board. We take public comment that's considered before a final funding decision. We have one of these coming up in just a couple weeks. A typical grant cycle involves around 200 applications or more every 6 months, so this represents a huge amount of work by staff, volunteer regional review teams, and the board to ensure a thorough, open, competitive process. The evaluation system that OEB has implemented has also been recognized federally as particularly effective at getting dollars to solid projects on the ground and getting them quickly. This has resulted in Oregon getting a top dollar allocation of applicable federal funds, like the Pacific Coast Salmon Recovery Funds in particular. Thank you for your time today. I'd be happy to take any questions or comments that you might have.
Are there any questions? No? Thank you very much. Good to see you.
Thank you.
I'm going to call up David Wells and Sean Morford.
Co-Chair Frederick, members of the subcommittee, I'm Sean Morford, and I'm the Executive Director of the Network of Oregon Watershed Councils. And I'm really happy to be here today in support of OEB and to talk just a little bit about some of the impacts of OEB's investment. The Network of Oregon Watershed Councils, you may know, is a statewide nonprofit organization representing and supporting the watershed councils here in Oregon. And the councils, as you probably know, are community-based coalitions represented and recognized by county governments and organized locally to coordinate restoration across a watershed. I have worked in other states and other countries. I worked in Canada, and I can tell you that Oregon has a very enviable, very talked-about model, and we're lucky to have this locally derived collaborative approach across a watershed council that a lot of other states and certainly in Canada, they really don't take for granted. The fact that rivers and streams and the uplands that drain into them don't obey jurisdictional boundaries, and the fact that we have a long history of collaborations like this within a watershed council is really quite remarkable. And I urge us here in Oregon not to take that for granted as well. OEB's investments over the last 19 years have been leveraged many times over. And, for example, one statistic related to volunteer time, I've seen some statistics such as 20,000 hours per year of volunteer time. I've seen some figures even much higher than that. The point is still important that community collaboration brings significant leveraging. And behind every dam removal, every culvert replacement, every riparian planting done by community volunteers, every acquisition supported by OEB are the local organizations behind that. So this is sort of the human side of the story. And OEB provides critical capacity grants that help support this ongoing infrastructure that enables this conservation to occur. And through the competitive grant program, the organizations have the means to take action on restoration and land protection that addresses both local and statewide priorities as outlined in the Oregon Plan and the Oregon Conservation Strategy. Since I first came to Oregon in 1981, I have found myself uttering many times a thank you to the visionary leaders that have come before us in the world of natural resources here. And one of the reasons that I'm involved in this work is because I can imagine people coming after us and saying the same thing about how we do things here in Oregon related to watershed health. It's a unique model that's worth keeping, worth investing in, and that's why I'm involved in this work. So I want to thank you very much for your support and for hearing out my thoughts, and I'm looking very much forward to hearing the other testimony as you'll start to hear some stories. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead, please introduce yourself.
Hello. Yeah, my name's Chair Senator Frederick and members of the committee. My name is Dave Wells, and I'm the chair of the Tillamook Bay Watershed Council. And I'd like to start with a story, a World War II story. I have coffee with Rudy Fink. He's 91. And as a longtime board member of our Watershed Council and chair of the Soil and Water Conservation District in our area, you know, we sit and have coffee every so often. And as a young man, he was there when they were loading the atomic bombs onto the planes, in the Pacific. And I think one of the things he sort of tells me over and over again, they only had two bombs. That's all they had to finish that war. That's all they had. And I think one of the things, when he got back to Tillamook and Darien, he saw and looked around, and he saw that there weren't two bombs like here in Oregon, but there was only one Oregon and one Tillamook. And when I asked him last Saturday, what's important about our watershed councils? And he said, I want to protect natural resources. And it's interesting that he has chosen watershed councils as one way of meeting that goal. For our Tillamook Bay Watershed Council, the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, and council support and project funding is our way of sort of working towards that goal. With the support of OWEB, we grow community involvement and projects with real watershed results. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that now. We currently have an all-volunteer board. I think Sean talked about volunteers. We have an all-volunteer board. It's made up of longtime residents with strong ties to the dairy community, a commercial flower grower, private forest landowners, and people who really enjoy fishing. Who'd ever thought they'd be addressed in the Watershed Council, but they certainly are. At our monthly meetings, we have between 20 and 50 people attend. And, right now we're working with the Economic Development Council of Tillamook County, Visit Tillamook Coast, Tillamook Estuaries Partnership to lead Explore Nature hikes, with the most recent being the Steelhead Ecology Hike along the Kilchis River. And what would be a talk like this without talking about brewing? Pelican Brewing is involved with our Watershed Council, too. A portion of the sales of the Five Fin Pilsner go to support the Salmon Superhighway, which is a joint project between our Watershed Council, the Neskowin and Nestucca one. Two projects that we have going this year are Skookum Dam removal and the abandonment of a legacy road on the South Fork of the Trask River. And OWEB funding is being leveraged with other commitments to make these projects happen. Skookum Dam is an earthen fill structure that would likely fail in a major earthquake. And when we heard about the City of Tillamook's proposal to remove this dam a number of 2 years ago, we thought, well, an opportunity for a win-win. How about we can help with removing the dam with OWEB support and also create 2 miles of salmon spawning stream. And with that, OWEB did provide about 50% of the funding, and the remainder came from the Tillamook City of Tillamook, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service chipped in on this one, too. The road abandonment along the South Fork of the Trask River, if you've ever been up there, it's a beautiful river, was coveted by the Stimson Lumber Company for a while. And the reason for that, this unused road was used by OHV people, off-highway vehicles, to make mud that would get into the river. They had a lot of fun up there, but it certainly didn't make Stimson Lumber Company look very good at all when they were leaving buffers and doing riparian planting. So with this project, OWEB has contributed 70%, with the remainder coming from Stimson Lumber Company and the Oregon Department of Forestry. And again, to further emphasize that we really do things, in the last 7 years, our council has enhanced 5 miles of critical salmon habitat by installing large wood structures and riparian plantings. We've also replaced 3 high-priority fish passage barriers. These are culverts or other things that prevent fish from getting through, and opened up almost 4 miles of stream to salmon spawning. And like Rudy, I want to protect natural resources, but in the way our vision of our council says, providing for a thriving economic base that supports viable communities. And I think that's really important about our watershed councils. We have, I think I read, more than 40,000 new Oregonians last year coming to this area. And OWEB support and talking about conservation and protecting natural resources is important. But even more important now that we can do it and save these viable communities and family farms and things like that. So this message is more important than ever. OWEB support and continued funding is needed to share this message, because no matter where you live in our one Oregon, you're in a watershed council or in a watershed. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You. Any questions? I was curious about your concern or your views on the Trask study and whether we should be continuing that,
on
that, or are you part of that?
I'm aware of that, but in that I probably really couldn't comment with any authority there.
Right, just curious. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, and I will call up next David Harrison and Sarah. All right.
Sarah, all right?
No, not all right. Deirdal?
Deirdal.
I almost got it right. Thank you. Please introduce yourselves.
I'm David Harrison. I'm a radiologist here in Salem, and I serve on the board of trustees of the Nature Conservancy in Oregon. Senator Frederick, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony in support of the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board's budget. The Nature Conservancy was a key supporter of ballot measures that established OWEB and made the program a permanent part of how Oregonians take care of the environment. The Nature Conservancy in Oregon was incorporated in 1961, and we now have more than 50,000 supporters in the state, with members in every county. Through my own experience traveling throughout Oregon, both as an avid birder and on behalf of the Nature Conservancy, I've seen both the need for investments in conservation and the benefits that OWEB provides to Oregonians. OWEB has a good track record of efficiently managing a grant program. Their investment in grants helps landowners and communities protect thousands of miles of stream habitat, restore wetlands, and protect and improve grasslands, forest, and desert habitats. These grant investments not only benefit fish and wildlife, they also provide a wide range of benefits to people, jobs, improved water quality, climate mitigation, and better health. By fostering a collaboration across interest groups, the grant program broadens Oregonians' understanding of natural resource challenges, as well as showing the practical solutions we can create when we work together. The value of OWEB's grant programs to nature and people was strongly endorsed in 2010 when 68% of Oregon voters and a majority in every county in the state voted in favor of Measure 76. We hope you'll join us in working to ensure that the state's constitutionally dedicated Measure 76 lottery funds and federal Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund grants are invested in ways that sustain the long-term health of our natural resources and local communities. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Any questions? No? Please.
Thank you, Co-Chair Witt, Co-Chair Frederick, and members of the subcommittee. I appreciate the opportunity to offer testimony in support of OWEB here today, and in turn benefiting communities across the state of Oregon. My name is Sarah Deardall. I'm the Executive Director of the Middle Fork Willamette Watershed Council, and I've been working for Oregon Watershed Council since 2006. I added that up the other day, and it's 11 years, which is pretty impressive for Watershed Council work in my book. The Middle Fork Willamette Watershed Council serves the Willamette River's headwaters from the Cascade Mountains upstream of Oak Ridge to the confluence with the Coast Fork in Springfield. Our mission is to make the Middle Fork Willamette Watershed a better place to live, work, and enjoy. We accomplish this mission through three main programs: habitat restoration, youth education, and community engagement. In our habitat restoration program, we have two exciting upcoming projects this summer. In Staley Creek, on the very upstream end of the watershed, we're implementing a 45-acre floodplain restoration project where we'll restore over 1 mile of river and install over 800 pieces of large wood. This project will benefit endangered bull trout populations, spring Chinook salmon, and a whole host of other native fish and wildlife species that depend on our rivers. Our other project to highlight is our Doris Ranch Oak and Prairie Restoration Project. This is in Springfield in partnership with Willamette Lane Park and Recreation District in the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Here we're restoring 21 acres of oak woodland habitat and the adjoining 38 acres of upland prairie habitat. We're benefiting Oregon white oak, native pollinators, and numerous other wildlife species that depend on these rare habitats. We will continue our maintenance of 62 acres of riparian restoration work with over a dozen private landowners in the basin, forming a contiguous restoration effort in one of our high-priority basins. In our youth education program, during our 2015 to 2016 school year, we engaged 580 students in grades 4 to 6 in our Watershed Rangers program. These students participated in 53 field trips and engaged in over 1,100 service hours. So Sean mentioned 20,000 acres of volunteer, or 20,000 hours of volunteer hours, And I think that our Watershed Council alone at least has 2,000 of those. After hearing of a need in our high school, high school students in our watershed, we developed a curriculum and launched a pilot for a high school program. In Oak Ridge, one of our rural communities, only 6 in 10 students will graduate from high school. 80% of these students received free or reduced meals. None of the graduating class last year enrolled in a 2 or 4 year college. Our Watershed Stewardship, our Watershed Stewards program teaches these high school students leadership, mentorship skills, and allows them to appreciate jobs that they might not otherwise find available. We've developed 3 summer internship programs for these students where high school juniors and seniors will spend 8 weeks with conducting fisheries research with professional biologist mentors. They also receive a scholarship that they can apply to the college of their choice upon completion of the program. Through our community engagement work, we recognize that the more people we engage, the more that we can accomplish. To that end, we provide opportunities for everyone, residents and visitors, to become involved in our work. We've created education and volunteer opportunities for individuals, families, and businesses to discover and connect to place. Already, we have more people doing more individually and collectively to improve our local rivers, lands, and communities. Whether it's volunteers planting native plants or pulling scotch broom in state parks, or teaching a fourth grader how to identify an aquatic insect or paddle a canoe, our communities no longer consider the Watershed Council, the government, an entity to be feared, but an ally who has their best needs in mind, and that's why I'm here today. We have a small staff. We have less than 4 full-time equivalents. The activities that we accomplish are the work of an army. The Watershed Council actively engages about 40 partner organizations, along with dozens of volunteers, and serves as a catalyst, transecting ownership boundaries to bring people together to leverage resources, create local jobs, and improve the geography that we love. Using OEB investments, we are able to leverage an additional 50 to 100% in other resources to support our work. We've come a long way in building trust and relationships, leveraging resources, and learning what it takes to build resilient landscapes, economies, and communities. OEB investments have been integral in that evolution. On behalf of the Middle Fork Willamette Watershed Council and our partners, I encourage you to direct vital funding to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board to continue this valuable work. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? No, at this point. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask for Tom Wolf and Brad Schaufant. Schaufant? I always ask in terms of pronunciation because people tend to add an S to my name or sons or lots of other things, so I just want to check. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Co-Chair Frederick, and as was mentioned before, in absentia, Co-Chair Witt, committee members, for the record, my name is Tom Wolf, here representing Trout Unlimited. Sometimes before this committee, I get a little flippant about the numbers of Trout Unlimited members that we have, and I apologize to my members for that. But currently in the state, there are 3,200 members of Trout Unlimited, and those members are very dedicated to restoring and protecting watersheds here in the state. Many of them belong to Watershed Council, sit on the Watershed Councils, and our chapters, of which there's 9 active in the state, work closely with Watershed Councils. And the unique thing about Oregon, you know, and I always hate to say the Oregon way, but in this case it's true, is the funding we have with OWEB. It is a powerful source of funding that allows us to go out and fund projects on streams, to fund vitally needed Watershed Councils, and to have to further us along in our goal of restoring trout, salmon, and steelhead populations here in Oregon. And that's very important. Trout Unlimited was formed by 16 people who met on a cabin on the Osceola River of belonging to George Griffin back in 1959, concerned about the future of fisheries in Michigan. And from that, it's grown to a membership of 155,000 with staff all over the United States working on different fishery issues. And Oregon, we did a study about 15 years ago on watershed councils, and we found that Oregon's take on watershed councils because of OWEB funding is much more vibrant and alive than in other states. And we have OWEB to thanks for that. In a very personal way, back in the 90s, I helped worked on the campaign to pass Measure 66. And then thanks to the fact that I'm great at volunteering, I volunteered Trout Unlimited in 2010 to be on the steering group to help pass Measure 76 and worked closely on that. And it was did a lot of door knocking, a lot of talking to people, including during the Rose Parade. And one thing I found over and over is that Oregonians recognize the importance of watershed councils. They recognize the importance of restoration projects. And even though they weren't always really aware of OWEB, many of them were and just were appreciative of what OWEB does. So talking as an Oregonian, talking as a Trout Unlimited member, talking as a vibrant and excited fisherman who in 3 months is going to be able to fish wherever the heck he wants to without having to come down here, I'm just really thankful for everything that OWEB has done, for the work they continue to do, and I asked on behalf of my members, on behalf of myself, on behalf of Oregon, that you support the OWEB budget. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tom. Yes, please.
Thank you. I regret having to follow Tom, though. Co-chair, committee members, thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Brad Chalf, and I'm the executive director of the Deschutes Land Trust based in Bend. We serve the Deschutes Basin. We're a regional land trust. Roughly 1,400 Oregon families are supporters of my organization. I'm here to support, of course, OWEB and House Bill 5040, the funding for OWEB's good work. But I'd like to talk a little bit about OWEB's development and their impact on my community. I've watched OWEB since before there actually was an OWEB. We used to call it the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board. It's been well over 20 years. And I've seen a tremendous amount of growth, maturity take place within the agency. The professionalization of staffing, the ability to be more strategic, take a longer view of opportunities, to be somewhat more flexible when needed. I attribute a great deal of that to high quality staffing, but I would also attribute that to a board to a very diverse board that governs the agency. Provides a tremendous amount of expertise, a very broad and diverse group. They've guided OWEB. They're guiding OWEB into the future as it looks at a new strategic plan. We're really excited to see where that goes. In terms of my organization and my local community, the impacts that OWEB helps create are quite broad but also quite deep. OWEB has funded my organization primarily through a partnership we call the Deschutes Partnership. It's comprised of my organization, the Deschutes Land Trust, as well as the Deschutes River Conservancy and two local watershed councils, the Upper Deschutes Watershed Council and the Crooked River Watershed Council. As an example of the successes that we've seen, I want to talk very briefly about Wyshoose Creek. It's a creek that historically was exceptionally important in terms of salmon and spawning habitat in the Upper Deschutes Basin. That access to that habitat was lost in the late 50s, early 60s, but over a period of time much earlier than that, we began losing the quality of that habitat. The creek was over-appropriated. We saw high flows this time of the year as the mountains were melting out. But by the time we reached the middle of the summer, the creek would go dry. And in fact, it would go dry almost every year because of over-appropriation for irrigation purposes. That's not an unusual situation. We also saw a conversion of much of the floodplain. We saw irrigation diversions put in place that interrupted fish passage movement up and down the creek. We lost the ability with the channelization of the creek for the creek to recharge the local aquifer. By the time FERC relicensing took place with the Pelton Round Butte projects and we had the opportunities for restored fish passage, it was very clear we needed to restore a lot of habitat to make that investment by Portland General Electric and the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs a reality. Our organization, our larger partnership, has worked for well over 20 years together, and more formally in recent years under the auspices of OWEB. Our voluntary collaborative approach has been slow and at times quite challenging, but it's also been possible because OWEB has stuck with us and been able to take the long view. As a result, over the last 20 years, we've restored stream flows through irrigation efficiency, with Weisschuch Creek now on the verge of permanently meeting state minimum stream flows. I believe Weisschuch Creek will be the first creek to come off of the state's list. While local irrigators, in fact, have today far more reliable, efficient, and manageable water supplies than they ever had before. Irrigation diversions have been consolidated, modernized, screened, and fish passage restored. Despite the rapid local growth, and everybody's heard about the way Central Oregon is growing, key floodplain and wetland properties have been permanently protected, avoiding or reducing future claims, property claims, for periodic flooding. That's particularly important in a year like we've got in front of us. Having avoided further conversion or fragmentation of floodplains, extensive stream reaches and floodplain property is now being actively restored, and finally, the aquifer is being recharged. Water quality and wildlife habitat in and along Weisschuch Creek is steadily improving as recovering riparian areas provide additional shade, stability, and structure. Water temperature drops while erosion and sedimentation is reduced. Our local community now enjoys new educational and recreational access to Weisschuch Creek, which they never had before, which has contributed to a stronger sense of community and added to our quality of life. Having embraced this approach, our local community has actually stepped up and provided additional private financial resources, which has stretched and matched and leveraged OWEB's public investment. Sufficiently impressed by our success and the community's embrace of this approach and the collaborative effort, federal agencies took the step of providing a safe legal harbor for private landowners who might accidentally injure or take a listed steelhead. Together, the Deschutes Partnership, our many community partners, agencies, and funders have collaborated to bring a long-dead stream back to life. That, I would argue, is no small achievement. But we did it in a way that respected local values, the desires of local private landowners, and benefited those local landowners, and ultimately the entire community. Our work unfolds quite slowly, one landowner, one project, one community at a time. But it's proving that local collaborative partnerships can solve thorny natural resource issues when given enough time and the support of an agency like OWEB. I urge you to continue the funding of OWEB, to support their programs, and say thanks to you from the people of Central Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to talk with you afterwards if you don't mind. Thank you.
Certainly.
Any other questions? No? Thank you very much. Joe Mall and Nellie McAdams.
Co-Chair Frederick, members of the committee, thank you for your time this afternoon. For the record, my name is Joe Mall. I'm the executive director of Mackenzie River Trust in Eugene, Oregon. I've been in that position for 12 and a half years. I've been doing this work prior to this in Oregon and in Japan for an additional about 25 years. As the head of a land trust, it's only natural that I echo some of my predecessor, Brad Chalfont's words. He used the term maturity. I'd like to touch on that in a few different ways to talk about the relationship that we and the collective conservation community and OWEB have had and I think have grown and matured, certainly in the time that I've been here. The Mackenzie River Trust works in far beyond the Mackenzie River. We have projects out on the direct Oregon coast near south of Yahats. We own land and have conservation easement projects in the Siuslaw Basin, down in the Umpqua, in the Middle Fork where Sarah works, in the Coast Fork of the Willamette, on the main stem Willamette, and the Mackenzie itself, and as well in the Long Tom. We just can't come up with a name to capture all that, so we've stuck with the Mackenzie. And throughout those areas, as Sarah briefly described, Brad described, certainly since I've been here, the collaboration among the different partners that play with OWEB, essentially, watershed councils, soil and water conservation districts, TU, land trusts themselves, has grown tremendously. And I think the OWEB board has been particularly interested in seeing that because, as you've heard today, many of us come with a similar message, asking for similar things. And I think that the integration and collaboration that you're seeing, not only within the, quote, conservation community, but as with my partner here in the agriculture, in the production forestry community, Bill moving forward now, the Oregon Agricultural Heritage Program is a specific example of that. It is just things are changing in that regard. What started years ago as a competitive process and still is a competitive process is a much more collaborative deal now. People see that we're in this together and that we can achieve a lot together. That includes not only land acquisition, ensuring that land is held for the public trust for the long term, but restoration, enhancement. Sarah described a good deal of environmental education that extends into job skills education. There are a number of new areas that are really maturing. And throughout that process, OWEB's ability to take what are some pretty strict rules and some pretty strict guidance from the Constitution and tailor that and adapt it to the needs and the demands of the community has been pretty exciting. It's a good thing to be a part of. No longer, I think, can we say that OWEB and the conservation world is on the backs of salmon alone in Oregon, which I think for a long time people had that perception. When it comes to trust, having come from Montana previously where I worked with grizzly bears and wolves, I thought couldn't get any worse than that in terms of distrust. But I have to say coming to Oregon, it was quite a bit worse. The level of distrust here between the economic development, natural resource industry, and the environment conservation industry here when I first arrived was really, really high. And I still think there are real questions about that. But the real value in programs like OWEBs is that it creates the forum. It creates the place for us to come together and not just talk, but really work on projects that get at how do you reach across and extend a hand of trust and come to real collaborative compromise and get things done. It's not just talk. And as a result, that trust is growing, and you're starting to see us take on bigger and bigger, more relevant community sorts of problems. So I hope that with your support and continued support of the OWEB budget, you'll continue to do that. That maturation of the conservation community, especially, I have to say, I think finally we're comfortable saying we don't have all the answers, which 25 years ago when I started, that wasn't the case. I think the conservation community throughout the country felt like we've got the answers and time's running out. And the conservation community in Oregon especially, given the kind of forum that OWEB creates for all of us to come together, agricultural producers, timber producers, economic development folks, traditional conservation folks, to come together and say, hey, none of us have all of the answers. Let's share what we have together. That's the power of OWEB, and I encourage you to continue your support for that.
Thank you. Any questions, colleagues? No? Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Co-Chair Frederick and members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Nellie McAdams, and I represent the Oregon Association of Conservation Districts. We want to, first of all, express our strong support for robust funding for the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. They offer very effective grant programs that our 45 soil and water conservation districts around the state rely on. They also have been creating effective partnerships, as Joe just said, around the state. And I actually got to participate in their strategic planning process in Ontario and got to see that in action, bringing diverse partners together for common solutions. I did want to also mention another program that is not in their budget, but that would complement OWEB's work. I had the opportunity to serve on the work group that developed the Oregon Agricultural Heritage Program, House Bill 3249. We have other work group members in the room, but this was basically a diverse coalition of organizations that represent thousands of landowners around the state, including Oregon Cattlemen's Association, Oregon Farm Bureau, Coalition of Oregon Land Trusts, the Nature Conservancy and Sustainable Northwest, as well as OACD. And together we met every other week for over a year in order to develop a suite of programs that could help address two crises that are facing the state, one of them being the mass transition of agricultural land within the next two decades, and the second being the loss of agricultural land base and its associated natural resources. So another hat that I wear is as the Farm Preservation Program Director for a group called Rogue Farm Corps. And there I did a study in September 2016 with OSU and PSU that found that 64%, two-thirds of Oregon's agricultural land will be changing hands in the next two decades, and that 80% of Oregon's farmers and ranchers probably do not have a succession plan. When they do not have that plan, there's more likely to be family strife, increased estate tax liabilities, and increased attorney's fees, which they often have to pay by parceling off some of their land or assets and selling those, hamstringing the business and fragmenting the landscape and making it more vulnerable to development into the future and the loss of those associated resources. So we see this as both an economic and a environmental concern for the state, natural resource concern. House Bill 3249 would meet an unmet need in Oregon to provide match funding for voluntary conservation measures that also assist with succession planning. So by conveying conservation easements, covenants, and creating conservation management plans, landowners are able to sell rights rather than fragment their property and actually sell off parcels, so they can keep the property intact, steward it, and not have to sell it off to investors that would be more likely to develop it. I do want to mention that this is a separate program because Oregon's constitution limits OWEB direct spending on anything but fish and wildlife habitat and watersheds. So this program is not a good there are federal funds that are on the table right now that are going unused in Oregon because we do not have a state match program. 28 other states have a match program, and thus far Oregon has only utilized 0.19% of the ASAP ALE match program for working lands easements. So I do want to say that OWEB also runs several other effective programs that do not use Measure 76 funding, including the Forest Collaboratives. And we have the work group has determined that OWEB is a proper place for this program because they have a proven track record of running grant programs and serving natural resource values, and that this new program would complement their other programs. So House Bill 3249 might come to you again. It will be up for a work session on Thursday in the House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee. If it passes, then we would come and speak to you about that. But I do want to end by saying that state dollars would be well spent on this program. While our rancher Woody Wolf has said, I would ask what the cost would be if those lands become concrete or developed. And furthermore, this program cannot wait another session. The average age of Oregon farmers and ranchers has never been older. It's near retirement, almost 60. And as those lands pass, we're missing opportunities. So I would just be happy to answer questions about that program. And I appreciate your listening to this testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Being very quiet today for some reason. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to call up Jenny Nicholson, mm-hmm. Jerry Nicholson, I'll bet. Yeah. And also Mary Ann, are you here?
Please introduce yourself and continue.
Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Jerry Nicolescu.
Nicolescu, sorry.
Yeah, well, like you, they do a lot of things with my name, so I come to pretty much anything when you call me. I'm the executive director for the Oregon Association of Conservation Districts, and we're here in support of House Bill 5040, the legislation that funds OWEB. We represent 45 districts across the state, and every district in Oregon in some way currently benefits in some manner with because of OWEB's funding, indirect or directly into the programs that they do. Capacity funding, competitive open solicitations grant, focused investment partnership grants. They provide districts with an opportunity to leverage other funds, to bring in other agencies, state and federal, to work with and help do those kind of things. I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that haven't been mentioned today. The good thing with coming kind of last is that you can start checking those things off your testimony as you go through this. And Mary Ann's sitting here looking at these ink marks all over here. She's going, my God, what are you doing? But some of the things is that OWEB has been a part of that have really helped is the early on help with putting together SageCon to deal with the sage-grouse issue in eastern Oregon. That really helped, and in the result of that is we had a large federal grant that came in. It allowed us to begin to address those issues across the board, and then later on their focused investment partnership money came in to further that process down the road. As you may have heard, we have avoided a listing at this time, and farmers and ranchers are actively putting measures on the ground that hope to keep that bird from being listed. The other place that they have provided support and help is in the Ag Water Quality Management Program that ODA runs, and helping do that in the support and through various groups with monitoring and other thing, and bringing their expertise to bear, and in some places some open solicitation funding to bear to take care of those kind of things. Right now we have 15 strategic implementation areas in place, and within the 45 districts we have approximately 50 focus areas addressing ag water quality on a regular basis. But I would like to finally leave you with the one thought. The support that OWEB gives to the soil and water conservation districts in this state, last year we were able to provide technical assistance or help to about 17,000 individual landowners. Out of that, we got about 1,260 approved conservation plans covering approximately 112,000 acres. Of these, about 1,305 of those were water quality projects, which affected about 63,000 acres. Districts individually or in partnership have provided some engagement and outreach to about 885 different opportunities, about 28,000 people. So the work does get done on the ground. It gets done every day, day in, day out, week after week. And that's what this program, and that's what the agency does for us down the road. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it. Yes.
Co-chairs Frederick and Witt, members of the committee, my name is Mary Ann Nash, here today on behalf of the Oregon Farm Bureau. I wanted to start out by saying Oregon Farm Bureau is proud of the work that our members do through OWEB. We have members all across the state who are on their watershed councils and soil and water conservation districts, and we have members who have undertaken projects for the benefit of salmon, sage grouse, and other key species and habitats around Oregon. We are proud of these important partnerships. And we were part of the Oregon Agricultural Heritage Program that Nellie discussed, and we look forward to the future of that program. So we've been engaging with OWEB over the past few years about priorities for funding, and we are planning to robustly participate in OWEB's budgeting process at the end of the month. And we've discussed this at length with them. We would eventually like to see OWEB move away from acquisitions of farmland as a means to protect habitat and achieve restoration, and instead look to collaborative working lands-based approaches to achieving habitat improvement while maintaining working landscapes. We are very enthused by the working land projects that OWEB has undertaken so far, and we hope to see more of these kinds of projects in the future. And this dovetails nicely with Jerry's point. We would also like to see increased funding for technical assistance for soil and water conservation districts, particularly those that will be assisting with ODA strategic implementation areas for water quality. As Jerry mentioned, landowners often look to SWCDs as kind of a first line of defense for technical assistance for their voluntary projects to improve water quality and habitat values. And we think it's important that SWCDs across the state have the resources that are necessary to help undertake these projects. And so, again, we'll be raising kind of both these points through OWEB's process at the end of the month. So with that, thank you for your consideration, and I'm happy to take any questions.
I don't think there are any right now. Thank you very much. Are there any other folks who wanted to speak Didn't sign up. Okay.
Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. I really only want to say one thing, and that's because this is really a lottery bill or lottery funding. The OWEB board consists of other agency board members. This is one of those exciting places where we actually have cross-agency collaboration and discussion. And as you have heard me say all along during this whole time, that's a priority for the League, is to see what we can do to be most efficient and accomplish tasks cross-agency to get the real work done. And you've heard about all the good work that is done by OWEB. So just wanted to mention that they do have cross-agency work here.
Thank you
very much for listening.
Thank you very much. No one else? Well, then we will actually close our hearing early. I'm going to close the public hearing on HB 5040 and HB 5041, and also close subcommittee meeting on natural resources for today. Thank you. Meeting on natural resources for today. Thank you.